think we're headed for headlines from National Public Radio News.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. All right, folks, we're going to go into NPR in a few minutes, and we'll see you on the other side in just a few minutes.
We are tuned to the Sunday Forum here on WMNF Radio 88.5 FM. We'll need your help next week, right, Walter? Gonna need your help.
Absolutely.
Keep WMNF going strong.
We need your donations. We need your donations to keep your favorite shows on the air.
So keep it tuned.
I'm Giles Snyder. Former President Donald Trump is set to testify under oath in a civil lawsuit tomorrow. This is the first time he'll be questioned by opposing lawyers in such a case since leaving the presidency. Andrea Bernstein reports from New York.
The case stems from a 2015 altercation outside Trump Tower in Manhattan when a group of Mexican demonstrators were assaulted by a Trump security guard. In a lawsuit, the protesters claim Trump is responsible because his security team was acting at Trump's behest, and a judge has agreed there's evidence to suggest that. The Bronx, New York judge has ordered the former president to submit to videotaped questioning to be presented to a jury at trial. That trial could begin as early as this year. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. For NPR News, I'm Andrea Bernstein in New York.
A strike in Hollywood has been averted. The union representing most crew members who work on movies and television shows says a contract agreement has been reached with studios and producers. Some 60,000 union members had threatened to walk off their jobs tomorrow. Haitian security officials say a group of American Christian missionaries and their families have been kidnapped by an armed gang near the capital, Port-au-Prince. The BBC's Steve Jackson reports a state department says it's aware of the reports but has not commented on the incident yet.
Haitian officials say at least 15 women, men, and children from the United States were abducted from a bus shortly after leaving an orphanage. Few other details are known. Haiti has one of the highest rates of kidnapping in the world, as powerful gangs exploit the lawless situation to make money from ransom payments. But even in such a chaotic environment, the kidnapping of so many U.S. citizens has shocked local officials. Since the killing of President Moïse, rival factions have been trying to gain control, and the lack of security has intensified the daily struggle to survive for many Haitians.
Counterterrorism police in London have confirmed the identity of the man who stabbed a British lawmaker to death on Friday. Vicky Barker reports a UK national of Somali origin has been detained under Britain Terrorism Act.
25-year-old Ali Harbi Ali is accused of murdering Conservative lawmaker David Amos as the MP met with constituents in the southern English town of Lee-on-Sea. Ali was reportedly once referred to Britain's PREVENT scheme, which is aimed at spotting or preventing radicalization. But security sources say he was never on a terror watch list. The Times of London reports Ali's father is a former advisor to the Prime Minister of Somalia, who says he had no idea his son had become radicalized. It's also emerged that Amos had received a separate, unrelated threat in recent days, but chose to hold his office hours as usual on Friday. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
And you're listening to NPR News. The investigation into the oil spill 2 weeks ago off the coast of Orange County, California, has led investigators to a container ship. Investigators from the Coast Guard and the National Transportation Safety Board boarded the container ship this weekend in the port of Long Beach. The Guard says the ship was involved in an anchor-dragging incident back in January during heavy weather near the pipeline that leaked and sent oil onto beaches and wetlands. The Coast Guard has designated the ship's owner and its operator as parties of interest. The U.S. Embassy in Guatemala says people in that country and throughout the region can report cases of corruption to a U.S.-based anti-corruption task force. This follows a pledge by Vice President Kamala Harris. She made that pledge a few months ago to help Central America fight corruption, which many consider one of the root causes of migration. Maria Martin reports.
The newly set up hotline would allow citizens of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala to send an email in English or Spanish to combatiendocorrupcion@fbi.gov. Tips of corrupt acts or money movement connected to the U.S. would be handled by the Northern Triangle Anti-Corruption Task Force. The group is supported by the FBI, the DEA, and the Department of Homeland Security. The Justice Department says corruption undermines government services and the rule of law. And so this task force is part of the Biden administration's effort to address the root causes of migration from Central America. For NPR News, I'm Maria Martin in Antigua, Guatemala.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia. For 30 years, committed to advancing educational innovations and research that improves pre-K to 12 learning. More at edutopia.org.
WMNF is accepting volunteer applications to be part of our on-air team.
And welcome. This is Latinx.
Welcome to the Soul Kitchen. It is I, your resident chef, Big Eddie G.
Join your favorite voices on 88.5 FM, WMNF.org, and our HD channels. If you've always dreamed of being on the radio,
I would love to be on the radio.
Now's your chance.
Join your listening-supported radio station, WMNF.
Apply under the programming tab at WMNF.org.
This is a message for the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation's Board of Directors. The USF Forest Preserve is home to hundreds of acres of threatened wetland and sandhill habitats, as well as endangered plant and animal species. The preserve also contains at least 9 Native American historical sites and cemeteries. USF is now reviewing proposals to develop this land for economic gain. For information on the petition to stop this irresponsible and irreversible development and how you can help, visit SaveUSFForestPreserve.com.
Right. We're back.
Got you.
Sunday Forum. Sunday Forum. This is the sound of Blondie and Rapture.
And for
the man, only on only on the Sunday Four, folks. Only on the Sunday Four. All right, we're back. All right, it does the sounds of Blondie and Rapture. What year was that, man?
Oh, man.
That's 78?
It's so had to be late 70s. I remember it. I remember that song.
Yo, man. Let me tell you. That's crazy, man.
We're laughing, but it says Rapture.
And you know, and for those of you who don't know, Blondie was the first, that was the first person to actually put rap, like a rap to a song like that. She was the very first person to do that.
I mean, she sort of reminds me of the Runaways, kind of how she, you know, sings and
her
stuff.
Delivery. So,
her delivery. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, folks, I want to call in.
Yeah, we got three callers.
We got three callers. All right. Let's get them.
Okay.
Callers, welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Hey, good morning.
All right.
This is the R-O-N-G. Just was calling in to check in.
We cannot hit Ron. What's up, man? I can tell that's you, man, but listen, are you on the speakerphone?
Always. I don't like putting that little microchip to your ear.
Okay, because it's messing with our speakers. We can just barely hear you. We get a bad echo.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, much better.
Okay, yeah, now I'm penetrating my ear with the radio.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. Okay, but that type of ties into what I'm calling. We have problems, and problems come with solutions. That's part of the equation. It's just not going to just be everybody going to be floating on the silver lining like people try to insinuate. Having said that, the guy who called in and said we should start over, that idea in others' conception is okay, but we already did that I don't know how many times.
Yeah, right.
And that's not going to solve the problem by merely starting over. And when we say government, I'm pretty sure you have the same sentiment. It's not the government of and by the people, is the government that's over the people right now, with people, the people that are in places of government. That's where the issues start.
Yeah, it's just human, right?
I'm pretty sure we're aware of that, but the fact is, all our issues stemming from that, man. It's no secret now. The cat is out the bag. Starvation is just another issue. Homelessness, another issue. Clothing, another issue. All these issues of life remind me of something, and I don't know what that guy said, you shouldn't believe in religion. People always got their opinions, but sometimes your opinion is just that, and it has no validity. I've seen miracles. I've seen stuff, man. I don't have you to validate my thoughts like that and invalidate people's intentions. This was taught by the Europeans to us as a religion or a belief in a belief system, which is better than believing in a man, because as you see, we believed in the man, and the man is steady, taking us down a wormhole. And that's the basis of my thoughts, that the man is steady, taking us down the wormhole. The woman that had all these issues of life one time, I think it was Jesus, saved her. He healed her from all the issues of life. She had all the issues of life. So we don't have all the issues of life. And if we got together and start thinking that our crap don't stink and that it's okay to crap on somebody else and we feel better, we're just saying go hit people, hit them in the mouth, hit them in the head, hit them with some love and kindness and see what happens.
Right.
Hit them with some sensitivities and some realities. And see what happens. People were, before all this stuff started, they used to go give people instead of giving forward. The idea has always been to give forward, to help the people who can't help themselves. And if you, I agree with you 100%, Walter, that was an excellent thing to say about if it don't touch you, if some of these things don't hurt you, that they keep kids in cages, kept kids in cages for a long time, and nobody nothing. It just went away. And they still keeping people in cages as far as that goes. So that's been here. So it's some ugly stuff that needs to be taken care of. That's where we need to start over at right there. And I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for your time.
All right. All right. He's right. He's right. Absolutely.
You know, Walter, a few months ago, you did a show on mutual aid, and I think we need to remember that. You know, it's not about starting over. Sometimes some great ideas of the past will work. And, you know, and I'm thinking about in this pandemic, there are a lot of workers who needed somebody to take care of their children, who needed some other way of bringing in money to pay the bills and put food on the table. And I think about just a lot of those people who are thrown out of their homes because one person got arrested. And I think about those families who have someone behind bars. There are ways that we could create these systems locally that help each other, that help solve these type everyday problems. You know, I shouldn't have to, you know, just because a friend of mine, like I have a friend of mine who is 3 or 4 states away in the deep south in Tennessee in jail, trying to figure out how to get out of there, trying to figure out how to, you know, and this is over some traffic stuff, you know, so financial responsibility law can get you locked up. You know, how many poor people have gotten caught up in that and had no one, family or outside of family, to help, you know, because there are no local systems in which people can turn to and say, I need legal aid. We need to send food. We need to send money. We need to get somebody, you know, straight because, you know, they found themselves locked up all of a sudden. You know, there are no systems, you know, that we continue to have to perpetuate that are mutual aid in nature.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, let's go to our next call.
All right. Caller, you're on air.
Thank you. Walter, you have such a wonderful conversation today, and I really appreciate this conversation in the morning.
This is my sister, Yvette.
Hey, this is Yvette Lewis.
What's going on, Yvette?
Hey, I am just resting over a wonderful Freedom Fund dinner we had. We had an amazing keynote speaker, which is the national president for the NAACP. He was here in town. And it relates to some of the topics that you were talking about. One of the things that he stated in his speech was he loves the police. He wants the police to patrol his community and keep him safe. He just have a problem with the police harassing his son. That's the thing. So that was real powerful that he said. You know, like I said, people, we're a civil rights organization. This crime-free housing program, it's a program that can easily be stopped. It is violating people's civil rights. You know, the city of Tampa is just not giving these people an opportunity to live within the city. You know, African-American people, poor people are being pushed out. You know, government here is showing the people a clear understanding of how they feel about African-American people and poor people in the city of Tampa. Mm-hmm. The stuff that they're building, they're calling it affordable home. It's not affordable. If a young lady is working at Walmart, she cannot afford to live in somebody's home. And how do you treat someone if someone makes a mistake? You throw the whole family out. Where's the sense of compassion and that you care in the city of Tampa Bay?
Right.
You know, I mean, it is hurtful that you have to go through this and that the people in leadership, and I have to say this, Walter, because it's so true, they're Democrats. This is a Democratic city. It is run by the Democrats in the city, the county, and the school district. But yet, African-American people and poor people are fighting and struggling so hard to get anything in this city. So tell me, who carries our voice for us? Because they all come to this community when they want to vote. They all come to the community when we have souls to the polls.
Right.
And
right.
We're an organization that's going to hold them accountable to what they say. And as of right now, I can't say that anyone has fulfilled their promise to the African-American community.
Wow.
So where do the people go from here if they have no hope? You know, where do they go? There are jobs out there, but we're trying to help people get jobs and better wages so they can be productive citizens. But yet, the city of Tampa continues to push them three steps back behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
Right.
But can I ask a question? How does that happen? Because, you know, they're playing a game and we're not playing that same game. Like, the game they play is redistricting, for instance. That's coming up now. Who's paying attention to that?
Well, we are. So, Nick, this Thursday coming up, the NAACP, we will have all the maps for redistricting at Reagan Park at 6:30 at our Nation General Membership meeting. So we're educating the people on the redistricting maps and what they should look like and what they're supposed to look like. Because, you know, we talk about Republicans gerrymandering. Now you've got Democrats who sitting in the seat that is doing the same thing. So, you know what? You can't throw the rock and hide your hands. You can't call an ace an ace without looking at yourself. But once again, these people have been in office for so long and we have got nothing. To give $25 million to something, you have been begging and pleading for more houses. But guess what? You have to be careful what you ask for, because they're giving more houses. It's just houses that we can't afford.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, you build these beautiful roundabouts in our community, you shut them, and then you make the CRA pay for them. And when there's so many blue tarps on top of people's houses and code enforcement and code violations, and then you got your code enforcement people acting as though they are the enforcer. So they say, well, you know, if you pay your code enforcement fee, then everything goes off. But if you can't, what do you think about reselling your house? You understand what I'm saying, Walter?
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole game that they're playing. You got developers in the developing office who contractors who can't get contracts because they haven't contributed to certain funds for the city, or they don't have a certain connection. There's a whole slew of things going on here in the city of Tampa. People got to wake up and open their eyes. So we have to show up and show out, because I promise you, when we fight, we win.
Yeah.
Right. Right. No, you are right. You're absolutely right. For those of you who don't know who this is, it's on the line. This is our illustrious president of the NAACP, Miss Yvette Lewis. Yvette, I gotta tell you, I am so disgusted with everything that I've seen in the past couple of days. Past couple weeks. I mean, it's just been sickening. I want there to be hope, right? But hope is not a strategy. As a good friend of mine, Life Malcolm, once said, you know, hope is not a strategy, right? It's just feel good thing, right? What do we do as a strategy? What do we do as a strategy? How do we move forward? How will we make something happen? It's like seeing the mudslide coming down the side of the mountain, right? And it's moving slowly. And you think you have enough time to move to get out of the way. But it begins to overtake you after a while, because you're taking it for granted. So instead of preparing to move, preparing to get out, preparing to do something that is counteractive in some way, or to just evacuate totally, you just stay there. And that's what it seems like we're doing. It seems like we're paralyzed, right? And I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm like, well, dang, you know, we have master carpenters, we have bankers, we have general contractors, we have engineers, we have all these things. All these things going on in our community. For the first time in our history, we have all these things going on in our community, all these people in our communities, and we are not, it's like we, it's almost like we're not, no, not almost like, we're not putting them to work.
That is correct. You know, what good is having an apprentice program in the city of Tampa if you're not helping these people get a job?
Right.
What good is that? You know, Walter, let me tell you the prime example. There's a contractor on building two houses on my street on the left of me, and there's a contractor building two houses on the right of me on my street. The one on the right, I promise you, these two houses went up and they're almost done. The one on the left, it has taken them over 2 years to get this house, these two houses up and running. So I reached out to the contractor. He stated everything is slowed up because you know why? Because he challenged the contract in the department and the building department. So they slow the work down or they slow the permitting down and they slow all of that. It's a game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the city of Tampa has got to start playing these games, these childish games with people's lives and people how to make a living. But you want to say that we care. You care. You want to sit down and they slow together. Tell me what we all in it together for. What? The Buccaneers? What are we all in it together for? I'm a little confused. Help me out.
It's true.
Yeah, that's the one
it's
thing.
It's the truth, dude. It's the truth.
it's about accountability.
It is.
In this city and in the county. It's about accountability. We need better schools that are, you know, the roofs aren't leaking. The water is not coming up from the ground. We need all of that.
Did we lose her?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she's here. She's okay. There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We need better schools. We need all of that. These elected officials have got to step up to the point. Every last one of them. Those who look like me and those who don't look like me.
Right. And you can't be scared. You know, okay, now I'm going to say this because this is true. This is so, so true. Okay. When you, because we have to start looking at our elected officials, who they are, and what they're willing to stand up for, right? Regardless of contribution, financial contributions or not, you got to be able to call a spade and be real about it and stand on it, right? One of the things that I remember most of all about running for office was I refused to do certain things. It just certain things. I stood on, I stand on, and I will call it out and be that person, right? I don't care if you gave me your money or not. If you don't like it, that's cool. You can get it back. But I think I'd rather have someone like that that is going in the office than to have somebody who does not do that. Because someone who is not willing to stand on what they know is right, what they know is going to progress the downtrodden. Someone's able to stand on that and wants to stand on that. That's who I want to vote for. That's who I want to be on. That's the team I want to be on. Because we, you know, that's the team that's the underdog, that everybody wants to call the underdog, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, but we are the underdogs. That's who we are,
yeah.
Right? We're the underdogs. But you know, but there's also this term that I love. My mother used to say it all the time. Beware of the dark horse. Beware of the dark horse. And there wasn't an ominous term that she was using. The dark horse is the person or the people or the group that everybody is counting out. That's the underdog. The underdog is the same person as the dark horse. And that dark horse is going to come out. I just know it. I know it's going to happen. That dark horse is going to come out, and we're going to get it right. But and I think that we as a people are in a position now, and I think we're right at the cusp now, of making that transition that's going to make one heck of a difference. Just look at what they're doing in St. Pete, for instance. That's an extraordinary movie they're doing in St. Petersburg. Gypsy Gallardo, Imam Askia Akil, and that entire group there. Chloe Coney's gone over there to do work over there as well, along with Ernest Coney. And they've done a tremendous job over there.
They get ready to open up the museum, too. The African American Museum.
Yeah.
Yes. Here in the city, Walter, you say what your mother say. My mother used to say, what they do is between them and they God, and what you do is between you and yours. So they're going to have to answer to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
One thing the NAACP say, and one thing I always tell them, when we come through the door, don't take it personal. We're just here to fight and ask other people.
Don't
take it personal. When we walk out the door, I say all hearts clear. I learned that from my pastor way back in the day, Reverend Willard.
Amen.
I'm just saying, enough is enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Madam President. Thank you.
Yes.
Yvette Lewis, everybody, president of the NAACP. Hillsborough County chapter. Listen, Hillsborough County branch, excuse me, of the NAACP. I want to give a shout out to my sister. My sister's watching from West Palm Beach. Hey, sis, Attorney Celicia Smith Gordon. She and her husband, Lawrence Gordon, are watching from West Palm Beach. I'm always glad to see that.
We got two more callers.
We got two more callers. Good mm-hmm. grace to life. Let's do this thing. Okay. Let's do this.
Caller, you're on air.
Hey, Walter, breaking the rules.
There we go. You're always breaking the rules, man. Boy, y'all Wildcats love breaking the rules, don't you?
But this is Mabili. He poked the elephant. Oh, Mabili, you poked the elephant with this one. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to stir it up. And I don't give a you-know-what. I kind of like your mom. But, yeah, I'm I believe in
you compassion. Enjoyed that. I think you enjoyed that, didn't you?
I believe in compassion. I believe in help. But compassion gone to seed? No, I don't. I am sick to my stomach, to almost to the point of upchucking, retching. I don't want to hear one more radio show. I don't want to see one more television broadcast. First Take, Get Up, ESPN about Kyrie Irving. If you don't want to take the vaccine, fine. We'll give it to the thousands and thousands of people who want the shot. You don't want to take it? Go ahead and die. Make sure you have your beneficiary ready for the people who are going to get your money, because you can't take it with you to the grave. Okay? I'm sick of this. Okay? You don't, all of you who don't want to get the vaccine, don't want to get the shot, don't waste no more time on these people. Don't waste it. Give it to the people who want to live, who want to get it. I've had both of my shots, no side effects, and I'm still here. I don't know what to do to get it through these thick heads or whatever. Don't waste no more time with this. Mabili. You poked the elephant. You got me this way. I know you don't be saying anything, but yeah, it's time out for this mess. Okay? And other issues, Connie Burton, I know you listening, and other people, NAACP, like you just said, look, don't take this A whipping person. We coming in the room. But it needs to be said. It needs to be said. Give it to the people who want it, who want to live.
Absolutely.
Don't waste no more airtime on these people. Walter, Mika, Mabili, y'all have a nice day.
Thank you, Daryl.
Later, Daryl. All right,
Cole. They say we're tired of pretty much over saying pretty please now.
All right, let's go to our next call.
Caller, you're on air.
Good morning, peace and blessings.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hello.
I'm doing so wonderful. Good morning to everyone in the studio. And Walter, definitely, we are thankful for this program. I just want to say this as a, you know, kind of like a follow-up to what Madam President Yvette Lewis stated. you know, all politics are local, and if we are paying attention to the news, it is becoming clear and obvious. Coming out of the social justice movement, the murder of Brother George Floyd and so many more, the greater America was saying they get it, that they understood the disparities, right? Mm-hmm. We had proclamations signed, and people had all kind of Black Lives Matter signs in their, you know, windows, and these are institutions. But now we get to a point of business as usual. And the business as usual is always, excuse me, in America, with somebody having their foot on somebody's neck. And that's the place that we are moving back to. Can't nobody rationally say that working class, poor people want to live in the middle of chaos all the time? No. We want the same type of compassion that all other families are afforded. We want to make sure that people that have been accused of any crime, that they see justice and democracy working for them as if when they walked into the courthouse, they had $5 million in their pocket, you know? And what we see usually is that people are so mistreated. So when people are not speaking up, it is because they don't want to contribute to the ongoing mistreatment of a justice system that is predatory toward Black people. Mm. That's the reality. Mm. What we see now with CRA doing whatever they want to, the CRA downtown is under the same banner of reducing blight and poverty, and they have been able to expand their CRA because they got connections for another 30 years. And so they can move money the way they want to make downtown Tampa almost like a sundown town. That if you ain't got money and if you ain't got wealth after your working hours, you out of there. Mm-hmm. Those things have to change. And when we look at the pittance that's coming into East Tampa, I know there was a huge award through the CDC of $20 million. That's something the community should be watching for. That is not a chess game, a shell game. That the bank that gave the money, of course, they're going to be the recipients of a lot of return. So that $20 million is going to increase for them. But if it's going to be for a housing initiative, we need to be making sure that the people that have lived there when it's been at its worst and did not leave, that they become the beneficiaries of it on the rebound. So we just got to pay attention. All politics are local. And one of the greatest criticisms that is being heard from the top to the down, that the Democratic Party is not producing, that they are not doing it on the federal level. And when we look at the fact that all constitutional officers in Tampa are Democrats, the Democrats control the city council, they control the county commission, they need to be a wonderment in terms of what voters will do in the next cycle. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you.
Hey,
thank you,
Sister Khan. We appreciate you and your ongoing love and support for this community and our people. We have some more. We have another call.
Yeah, just one more.
Call? Okay, all right, let's do it. Let's
caller,
do it.
You're on air.
Walter Smith.
What's happening?
Man, you know I can't let that little kind of Burton and Joe Robinson come on. Man, we don't agree on everything. We damn sure agree on one thing. Black people and minorities need to move forward. And let me just say this, yes, man, sir, about the CRA, about all this shit. That's that guy, president, said it best at the Freedom Fund dinner. This whole thing about money. It's a capitalistic country. All this talking and yakking and stuff, it's time if you in a position, and you ain't got to be in no elected position, but if you're in a position to move money, to approve money, to get something, assets. And you're in a position, you better do it. That's what I do. Say, I take the CRA and I tell the city, number one, not the city, but I tell the people in charge of it, because sometimes the man got nothing to do with CRA. In order for $25 million to be allocated to the staff center, that had to come from the advisory committee first. So it wasn't just city council as the CRA that approved that. The advisory committee should have said, we want that. Well, how many black people on the downtown CRA advisory committee? You ever ask that question? Since everybody asking all these questions and talking, you ever ask how many black people sit on that? How many Hispanic people sit on that? The population of the county is what? 29% Hispanic and 18% black right now. Actually, we done lost in the last 10 years people out the county, and the black population went down. Do your numbers. Take your homework. Now, I'm going to say this. On the west side,
I don't think anybody really asked that question. I think everybody pretty much knows the answer to that question.
Well, you know, it's one of the things, you just, somebody got to let it be known.
Yeah.
Because I'm not scared to tell you numbers, okay? I ain't never ran for nothing in my life, okay? And never will. I'd run right at it, because that's how you get stuff done. You don't run away, you just deal with it. So you're going to give it, hey, let's roll with it.
Right.
So the bottom line is money, capitalism, you know? What we probably ought to do is get all of us together. We'd be better off, instead of all this talking, all of us put together $1 a week and play the lottery. We might hit it, and then we get $200 million, and it's all over with, right? See? And they'll say, well, it ain't about money. Yes, hell it is. You got to have some money to move in America.
Yeah.
To set up like that. We got Bitcoin, but I ain't never seen one yet. So what I'm saying is this.
I still don't understand that one.
We're in a position of being over money, like CRA, like any other committee that we got, then we need to make sure the money gets to where it needs to be. And if that, you need to raise hell and say it. See, on the west side, I tell them we need a program to do this. We need to put money here. We ain't talking about no loan. We talking about grants. You know what I'm talking about, Walt. You sit on it with me.
Absolutely.
So the bottom line is you got to tell and force and make the motion and get it done. I ain't arguing with city staff. I'm telling city staff what to do. I'm telling you, if you don't do it, you're going to be fired. Because I'm going to try my best to get you out of here and embarrass you. See, you can't be scared to speak as they say, kind of verse, they true power. See, but there I've been scared of nobody, all this talking. And the biggest thing, they got us so fighting and talking about each other, so worried about who doing this and what said that we really can't get our mission done because we've been smoke screened and clouded by infighting, this and that. All that don't mean nothing. Like I tell them, you can talk about it all you want, but if you touch Mama Buffett cap on you. So the bottom line is, I don't care what people say about it. Everybody talks. They talked about Jesus Christ. And I done been to church this morning before all y'all woke up and on, eating breakfast. So the bottom line is this, man. In the community, what this black community needs, it needs to pick and find every source of money from the county and the city and tell and demand. And if you're in a position on a board, a committee, or whatever you own, make the motion to put the money in the hands of the poor people, the black people, the people on the street, and make it happen and cut this so-called philanthropist, this so-called, we're going to take care of everybody, this so-called everybody under this tent, and we're going to look out. It ain't like that no more. This is dog eat dog. This is, you got to step up to the plate and not just demand, but start doing. Start filing complaints on public corruption. So that's what it is. It's public corruption. I'm one of the few that fight it and live to talk about it. So that's what's going on, public corruption. But it's being done in a stealth mode. But if it keeps getting too bigger, because there's plenty of money out here, plenty of money out here. Mm-hmm. Money out here they ain't even released to us yet. Why do you think the city's budget is $1.8 billion? So there's money out here, man. But you got to know how to mine it. And you got to know how to go by getting it. And you got to not just talk about it. You got to sue it. You got to fight it. And you got to make it happen. If you sit on a board right now, everybody listening, you need to be waking up in the morning and making motions to get the money on the street, get it out the bank, and get it out here where it can work. And cut this nonsense out. Because on the west side, that's what we're doing. We're not playing with people developing. We ain't playing with none of them. Why? Because when they set up, we told them, this the way we do it on the west side, and it ain't going to stop. And that goes for any elected official. That goes for anybody. We don't play that. But if you want to come in with some sense, we'll work with you. But if you want to come with nonsense, we're going to destroy you on the west side. Destroy you. Wait, any king means that. And Walt, you done seen me do it over and over again. So that's all we need to do, man. So let's get on board. You know, let's stop worrying about what people talking about here saying. And let's just make it happen. I don't know. Joe Robinson is an action person. And when I say I'm going to bust a cap in you, I mean it. Okay? But that's all I got to say, man. Let's keep it real. President Wright, Connie Wright, we all right. They try to keep a ball of confusion to keep us going at each other. Well, we all know that's a smoke screen. It's about the money, where it's going, and something to spend. It's thousands and millions of dollars sitting in accounts, ain't being moved, been put in reserve. Been, what we're going to reprogram it for next year. Spend the money and quit playing this game. That's all I got to say. Y'all have a nice day.
All right.
Joe Robinson. Go remember that name.
Yes, sir. I think we got another call.
We do.
Got another call. What were you going to say, Billy?
Oh.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, you know, he's right. You know, it is about the money, and we are all right. Instead of being pitted against one another, we should recognize we all have something valuable to bring to the table to offer. And, you know, white people, they organize among themselves to control prices, to control money, access to money. You know, we don't do that. You know, they cartelize their corporations among each other so that they can control prices. What do you think the oil cartels are? You know, they do these things to protect their interests, to protect their wealth. And when it comes to accessing these same monies at the local level, we need to get organized. I mean, we've been saying that for 30 years, but we need to get organized
we do.
In terms of access, in terms of who's sitting at the table, what are your ideas? We all got good ideas. We're just not organized.
And the preemptions that we saw, for instance, during legislation, I said it yesterday, and I say it again. Friday, and I say it again. The preemptions that we saw during legislation were disastrous to us. And it proved the point, and that is that we can't trust certain elected officials. We just can't. And we have to trust ourselves, and we have to work amongst ourselves in order to get something done in our own communities. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, you just never know who's padding the pockets of that elected official.
I'm telling you, man.
And that's what they need most.
Yep. Caller?
Yeah, Hoodoo.
Hoodoo, man. What's going on, brother?
Man, it's all good, brother. How about yourself?
All right. Attorney Life Malcolm, my man.
Right on. I really want to appreciate the program. Well, and, you know, there's been a lot of things covered over this hour and 45 minutes, and I obviously can't comment on all of them. But I would like to say, though, that one of the critical things that seems to get glossed over, even when we have very serious and important discussions like this, is whose responsibility it is to change the world and change the lives for African people. Like, we say it's all about the money, but we stop short and we don't say it's all about the money in the hands of the African working class.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going to overturn the social system of colonial capitalism. Power and wealth in the hands of the African working class. One of the things that has become clearer after this whole period of rebellion inspired by the brutal murder of George Floyd was that we do have the ability as African people to change the world, you know, and we don't need the colonial capitalist permission to do it. You know, sure, voting is important, but there's more than one way to vote. You can vote by ballot or by bullet. And last year we saw that you can vote by burning and make your position clear. You know, and so we say that we have to, you know, be involved in elections, but we don't say that we need to run. for the damn offices.
There you go. There
talking
you go.
About having, you know, some white savior, some colonial savior come and solve the problems of African people, and they can't do it. I heard your comment about Sonny Bell, and I would say that, you know, even if this idea of snitching is a whole, you know, we could do a whole show about what that means and what that is, but the reality is there's a reason why people don't talk to the police, and there's a reason why the police always want to talk to us when it comes to so-called dealing with crime. We want the ability to change our communities for ourselves. We don't, many of us don't, don't have the inclination to run to the police to solve our damn problems. And the police know we can solve our own problems. That's why they always asking us questions. That's why they always asking us to solve it, because they can't do a damn thing to solve our problems. The issue is, though, the police are always in our communities, making it impossible for us to move how we need to move in order to bring swift and severe consequences to the bandits who do banditry in our communities. Mm-hmm. If the police stay out of our business, if the police stayed out of our affairs, then we as African people could make the moves we need to make in order to make our community safer, which is our responsibility and our responsibility alone. And I just want to say lastly that I don't know what people expected of Castaland when they voted Jane Bull Connacaster in office. Jane Bull Connacaster despises African people. That was clear in her commentary after they murdered Javon Neal. What was that, in 2012, I believe it was. It was clear when they murdered Arthur, when under her leadership, the Tampa Police Department murdered Arthur Green Jr. and her commentary about that. It was clear with Viking Wild Black, as they call it, and it's clear now with the Renting Wild Black. But what is it you expect from Jane Bull Connacaster and Castaland for African people, except the most vicious, oppressive types of experience that we see right now today? It's our responsibility to overturn that. And you got to be careful of these people who, you know, call on the show and chuck and jive and shimmy and shake, but, you know, with us, and then, you know, in bed with Jane Bull Connacaster in the next video or the next picture or the next, you know, news statement. No, we have to know who our friends are, know who our enemies are, and move like an organized working class. And the only way we can do that is under the leadership of African internationalist science and theory, under African People's Socialist Party Chairman Omali Yeshitela. And I would tell everybody to go to APSPUhuru.org and join the party. Organize for our own power, our own economic and military power and political power. We can do it ourselves, Uhuru.
All right. Brother Life Malcolm, attorney, Brother Life Malcolm. Good to have you, brother. Always good to hear from you. You know, the question of self-policing, the question of self-governance sounds real good right about now. It sounded good for quite some time. I don't know when we're going to start to recognize that we can make the changes ourselves in our community. I get tired of saying it.
People recognize that. It's just that, you know, everybody isn't good, even in our community. So, I mean, that's corruption everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have to be mindful of that. We can't be naive about that. But
like you said, you know, but we have to be able to identify and get rid of the bandits ourselves. Right.
Yeah. Well, we could flesh that. I'm not sure what that means, because we only have one court system. So I don't know, you know, who's going to enforce that. But the thing is, we got to clearly have to deal with these issues. You know, we have white people who, you know, have, you know, throughout the history of this country thought of themselves as also an extension of police when it comes to black people. And oftentimes, you know, not oftentimes, but as we're going to deal next week with the trial of Ahmaud Arbery, where three white men, or two white men, a father and a son, chased him down in the street, didn't know him from Adam. Chased him down and shot him. And then tried to claim that they were in the right because citizens' arrests. They were doing a citizen's arrest with guns. This guy was unarmed.
Sounds a lot like. Yeah. So it's exactly right. Exactly what they thought they were going to be able to do and get away with it. And that was going to be fine. Even to the point of suppressing the information and not releasing it several months later. Right?
Right.
But we saw a string of situations like that, like what happened in Texas when they murdered the gentleman in Texas, and only a year prior, in March of the year before, that murder took place. They murdered that man in cold blood in Texas. And then they released it soon after the Ahmaud Arbery case was mm-hmm. released, because they knew that they were up the creek because they had suppressed that information.
Right.
And there was a string of other situations that were very similar to that, where information and video had been suppressed, and people were looking for loved ones and could not find them. It smells and as a stench of what we've seen in what happened with Jelani Day. We don't know what happened to Jelani Day. All we know is that he is missing right now. Mm-hmm. We do not have a body. We don't know what's been done. But what we do know is that it is foul. We do know. That's foul, you know. And we've got to do something about it, and we have to be more cognizant of our loved ones and more watchful as we used to be back in those olden days when we used to know what happened. Because I'm going to tell you right now, had it not been for people paying attention to what happened back in the year that I forget the year it happened, but the year that the young man who was in Mississippi was killed.
Emmett Till,
yes, I'm sorry. 1955. At a moment, 1955. The same year that Martin Luther King came on the national scene was in 1955.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, when if it had not been for the mere fact that you had community, common immunity, togetherness, right? They knew that they would never have found his body. They would never have found anything on him at all. And it would not have made the national platform that it made, right? Because we would not have been community. Nowadays, we're missing this. We're missing the whole boat. But I tell you what, not anymore. Next week, Sunday Forum. We got to wrap it up. Next week, Sunday Forum. Ladies and gentlemen, please call in with your pledges.
Show of support.
Show of support for the Sunday Forum, for us to continue these types of things and intelligent conversation each and every week here on the Sunday Forum, WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Call in at 813-238-8001. Call in at 813-238-8001. Folks, if you've been on the show and you like what has happened, with the help that we've been able to give, we can continue to give more help. We can continue to do the things that we do. But the only way we're able to do that is with your support. Call in at 813-238-8001 next Sunday here on the Sunday Forum. It's going to be all about you supporting us. Hey, thank you, everybody. And as always, from my voice to the airwaves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum.
The Hootenanny is next.